Offside. Generalna čistka. Po več neuspehih na bojišču ukrajinski predsednik Volodimir Zelenski v zadnjem mesecu dni pospešeno menja poveljniške kadre vojske. Zelenski je nazadnje predvčerajšnjim imenoval novega poveljnika podpornih enot. Predtem so med drugimi leteli načelnik generalštaba in njegova namestnika, komandant teritorialne obrambe, poveljnik desantno-jurišnih enot in poveljnik logistike. Čistka se je začela 8. februarja z zamenjavo samega vrhovnega poveljnika vojske, generala Valerija Zalužnega. Na njegovo mesto je predsednik postavil generalpolkovnika Oleksandra Sirskega. Ukrajinska vojska je v prejšnjem mesecu izgubila nadzor nad mestom Avdijivka na severu Donetska, kjer so boji potekali od začetka vojne pred 2 letoma. Niti poletna protiofenziva ni imela vidnih rezultatov, kar dela menjave v vodstvu z vojaškega vidika nepresenetljive. Toda v javnosti je bil že 5 leta viden spor med predsednikom in vrhovnim poveljnikom. Najprej zaradi intervjuja Zalužnega za britanski časnik The Economist, kasneje pa med drugim zaradi nesoglasij o zakonu o mobilizaciji. General Zalužni med ljudstvom po anketah uživa visoko podporo, celo več kot samooklicani služabnik ljudstva Zelenski. Podpirajo pa ga tudi politični nasprotniki Zelenskega. Zaradi tega je za Zelenskega čistka v vrhu vojske politično tvegana odločitev. Pred sporom z Zalužnim je bila politika v državi povsem konsolidirana okrog predsednika in konec leta so se vse parlamentarne stranke strinjale, da novih volitev, ki bi se sicer morale zgoditi spomladi, med vojno ne bo. Razloge za odločitev predsednika Ukrajine, da odstavi generala Zalužnega, predstavi Ben Eris, urednik portala BNI IntelliNews, osredotočenega na politiko vzhodne Evrope.
The main political disagreement was that Zalužny gave an interview to The Economist and there he said that the war had come to a stalemate. And this is a message that Zelensky didn't want to hear because it makes it much more difficult to raise money, because in the minds of the Westerners, it's if the war is at a stalemate, then what should we do next? Is it worth continuing to fund Ukraine? And you have to, although everyone talks about the rhetoric as long as it will take, and they talk about the eventual Ukrainian victory, that's certainly Zelensky's line, is that he wants to expel the Russians from Ukraine completely. If you're not giving victory, if there's a stalemate, then it raises doubts in the mind of the Westerners, because the American policy, the actual policy, has been always to concede that Ukraine will have to give up some territory, and their quoted goal is to put Ukraine in the strongest possible position for whenever negotiations start, eventual negotiations start. And by admitting that the war is in a stalemate, and moreover that Ukraine is on the back foot, that policy of fighting to improve Ukraine's position ahead of negotiations has failed, it's been undone. And that would argue that the war should be stopped if it's going backwards, which for Zelensky is a huge problem. And actually that's manifested itself, as you must well know, with US Congress refusing to put through any more military aid, and Ukraine is now rapidly running out of ammunition, their position's getting much worse, and causing a huge problem for Zelensky. So I think that was one of the main reasons why Zelensky sacked Zalužny. But there's a second one of domestic politics. Zalužny was extremely popular. In fact, his popularity was started to overtake that of Zelensky's. And so there's a political rivalry has sprung up between them. So I think there was a political motive here for for sacking Zaluzhny, just taking a political rival out of the game.
Novi vrhovni poveljnik Aleksander Sirski je bil pred povišico poveljnik kopenskih sil, ki je vodil uspešno obrambo Kijeva na začetku vojne, a tudi bitko za Bahmut, v kateri je ukrajinska vojska lansko pomlad z velikimi žrtvami izgubila. Zaradi svoje strategije je Sirski precej manj priljubljen kot Zaluzhny, pojasnjuje sogovorec.
Sirski is not as popular. Sirski has been responsible particularly for the defense of Ukraine, where he was, you know, covered himself in glory by successfully preventing Russia with its blitzkrieg plan to take Kiev in the first few days. And that defense of Kiev was spectacularly successful. But Sirski has been criticized for his attitude to the lives of Ukrainian soldiers, particularly in the campaign to hang on to Bakhmut, which fell to the Russians last year. And that was an extremely bloody battle. And Sirski committed a lot of Ukraine's elite, some of their best troops, to protecting the city at enormous cost. They lost a lot of men. And the soldiers thought that he was a bit cavalier in his expenditure of human lives of, you know, Ukrainian forces. And he's got dubbed the nickname the Butcher as a result of this, that he was pushing too many troops in who died into what was a pointless battle, which they lost in the end. So at Vidka, the more recent battle, same situation, another city that was being held by the Ukrainians that was attacked by the Russians since last October and eventually fell 2 weekends ago to the Russians. But this time, Sirski withdrew the troops, gave it up as a lost cause much earlier. I think partly for political reasons that he couldn't be seen to try to hang on to a city that was, you know, they were losing, particularly in the face, in the context of them running low on ammunition and becoming more and more difficult to defend. So he's cut his losses.
Po decembra objavljeni raziskavi Kijevskega mednarodnega inštituta za sociologijo, ki je glavni merilec javnega mnenja v državi, je Zaluzhnemu zaupalo 88% javnosti, medtem ko je Zelenski užival 62% zaupanje. Po odstavitvi je po podatkih istega inštituta podpora Zaluzhnemu poskočila na več kot 90%, Zelenski pa je na popularnosti še malenkost izgubil. Nekdani predsednik Petro Porošenko, župan Kijeva Vitalij Kličko in opozicijski poslanci parlamenta so podprli Zaluzhnega ter kritizirali njegovo odstavitev. Ruski mediji so začeli špekulirati celo o konsolidaciji ukrajinske opozicije in oligarhov okrog Zaluzhnega, ki bi lahko zapustil vojsko in unovčil svojo popularnost z vstopom v politiko. Eris nasprotno meni, da Zaluzhny ne ogroža položaja Zelenskega.
Zaluzhny himself hasn't actually indicated that he's interested in becoming president, but you could see easily how he would be persuaded to do that. And whenever the elections happen after a ceasefire, then we could see a battle between them. It depends on the outcome of the war. If there is a negotiated peace, Zelensky's been so adamant that he wants to fight and expel the Russians. If he's forced into a ceasefire and he's forced to concede land, which seems almost inevitable that there will be concessions, then Zelensky's popularity will evaporate and he'll probably, or is at least more than thinkable, that he would be ousted and replaced with somebody else to deal with the post-war period. Zaluzhny is kind of dropped off the radar, and to be honest, while there's a war on, I think he would be unwise to attack Zelensky or try and make advantage of this by criticizing the president, because at the end of the day, he's a soldier. His duty is to the defense of the motherland. I mean, he's not retired, he's still in play. And I doubt he'll say or do anything explicitly to undermine Zelensky's authority.
Ukrajini se v bližnji prihodnosti že zaradi odpovedi volitev ne obetajo nobene legalne politične spremembe. Ukrajinska ustava prepoveduje parlamentarne volitve v vojnem stanju. V tem času pa parlament tudi ne sme spreminjati ustave. Ustava pa ne prepoveduje predsedniških volitev. Ostale volitve v času vojne prepoveduje zakon o vojnem stanju, ki se ga lahko spreminja tudi dokler vojna še traja. Toda konec lanskega leta so se tako sam predsednik kot vse parlamentarne stranke strinjali, da ne bodo uvajali sprememb. Zelenski tako do nadaljnega ostaja predsednik. Ali bi v teh okoliščinah Zalužni vstopil v politiko?
Yeah, certainly he could. And Zelensky's five-year term is up. It expires this spring in the next few months. So technically there should be a new presidential elections. And in that, Zalužny has the option, I think, of standing against Zelensky and would stand a fairly... It would be a close-run thing. I mean, the Ukrainian polls show that everyone still wants Zelensky as a president. He's done an amazing job of rallying the country and the determination he leads to resist Russia has been inspiring. So he's had off-the-chart approval ratings. But now we're 2 years into the war, that the Ukrainian forces are not making any progress, that the economy is in bad shape. They haven't got enough money this year to fund the budget, which means there's going to be cuts and delays to payments, salaries, what have you. That Zelensky's popularity is starting to fall slowly. And that puts Zelensky in a position where he could challenge him. Having said all of that, the constitution, the Ukrainian constitution, is very clear that you may not hold elections as long as there is martial law, which is the case now. And so it's impossible, or at least illegal, to hold elections.
O nameri predsednika Zelenskega po zamenjavi vrhovnega poveljnika vojske so začeli ukrajinski mediji pisati sredi januarja. Konec januarja je predsednik Zalužnemu ponudil, da lahko odstopi sam, kar pa je general zavrnil. A to še ne pomeni, da se je Zalužni predsedniku resno upiral.
I'm not so sure it's a question of his loyalty. I mean, certainly Zelensky was building up a team that was independent. It's more the other way around, and so much as Zelensky was starting to undermine Zelensky's authority by putting his own placement in the army, dealing with directly with other generals, bypassing or undermining Zelensky's position, which is not healthy because of this rivalry. He didn't want to bolster Zelensky too much by giving him more glory, and therefore he tried to undermine him so much by bypassing him. So in that sense, it was logical to replace him in so much as you're undermining the command of the Ukrainian army at a time when you're in full war, and Zelensky was very much both in charge and as a very successful general.
Zelenski v vojnem času dejansko še bolj utrjuje svojo oblast v državi in širi svoje pristojnosti, in to ne le na vojaškem področju.
The military has power in so much as it's key to fighting the war, and Zelensky has to take that into account. But Zelensky has also been slowly consolidating his own power. He's taken control of the general prosecutor's office. He's put some of the oligarchs into jail, which is also a source of, you know, power that works against him. And so the oligarchs have gone on defensive and become quiet. He's made moves to try and take more control over NABU, the anti-corruption agency, which is normally totally independent from the president. And he's trying to put some people of his in place there. But then again, this is A, it's wartime, and B, Ukraine, and you have to appreciate it's very corrupt. And he's got this anti-corruption agenda, which is absolutely crucial to continue the aid, because the Western partners are worried about stealing, and there's been various scandals, particularly in the military. The former Minister of Defense was forced out or sacked after one scandal after another, where hundreds of millions of dollars were being stolen in a time of war, you know, where there was particularly one contract which was supposed to procure these crucial artillery shells, which turned into a scam. It was $100 million disappeared, and the shells that were supposed to be produced were never delivered, and the money was stolen and ended up going to an Italian bank, which refused to accept it. And so I think the issue is not that the military is posing a political problem for Zelensky, is that the military machine is extremely corrupt. It always has been. And Zelensky is trying to assert his authority over it, particularly to stop the corruption in order to make sure that all the money coming in, particularly from the donors, is going to where it's supposed to go, to equipment, to weapons, and to ammo.
Tako je uradno sirski na čelu vojske nasledil Zalužnega, dejanski maršal Ukrajine pa je bil in je še vedno kar Zelenski. Offside je pripravil vajenec Tim, mentoriral je Matej.
Ви слухаєте Радіо Студент на хвилі 83 МГц КВ Стерео. Бажаю вам ясного сигналу та чіткої картинки.